everyone, welcome to the Joker Double Game Pod. I'm Marcus, always joined by Matthew.
Hello.
And Nathan.
Hey up.
How are we doing?
Well, yeah. Fed some squirrels today. All good.
You ate some squirrels?
Fed some squirrels.
Oh,
whoa, ate some squirrels.
Right, okay.
I mean, you can eat them.
I've
heard they taste a bit gamey, but apart from that. But speaking of games.
Yay, excellent segue.
I didn't even mean to do that. It just comes naturally.
Yes, let's get into news then, shall we? What should we start off with? Should we start off with Xbox? They seem to have leaks again.
Some more leaks? What's happening here?
I mean, it's pretty never-ending. For a company that big, with that amount of money, it's quite astonishing how many leaks they seem to have. I must say. Quite worrying, if I'm honest.
Right, what's leaked this time?
Well, do you remember back in the day, like sometime, was it last year, late last year? They had all the leakage about what the future was going to hold for Xbox and all that. Mm-hmm. And then there was images circulating of, like, well, not PowerPoint presentations, but slides, shall we say, of what was coming. And one of them was going to be a discless Xbox Series X.
Oh, yeah.
A refresh. I think they called it. And was it like a cylinder in shape, I believe?
Yeah.
Seemed like it.
Well, it turns out that might not be the case then. Unless that's still a completely different thing. But it's unlikely based on this. So a series of images have been leaked of a discless Series X. And it's basically just a white Series X.
Oh.
With no disk drive.
That's
boring.
So yeah. I suppose it matches with the
adventures,
but matches with the theming of the Series S, I suppose.
It does, but why does it need to match that? Oh, because that's discless as well, maybe.
Yeah, see? Keep it uniform. If it's in white, it's digital.
Xbox don't keep anything uniform. They're from Xbox to 360 to One.
Yeah.
To Series S and X. There's no uniformity there. I'm not getting behind that. No. They can't just start now. I'm not allowing it.
Well, but yeah, I can see.
I can see where you're coming from with it.
I mean, it's clean looking. I'll give them that. But it's not exciting. I think rumours are it's going to be about $100 cheaper. Whether that's true or not, who knows.
Mm.
And apparently it's got an upgraded heatsink.
That's good.
I'm not sure about any of the technical changes. But I did read the interesting thing is that if they took the disk drive out of it, couldn't they have made it smaller?
Probably, but then they wouldn't be able to use, saying that, the moulds of what they've done for the current console. But the current ones have got, at least the front bit, it's got the discs cut out, hasn't it? So, but I guess it's easier just to remove that and just use the same production line.
Yeah, but aren't you using more materials, then?
Slightly more.
Well, that adds up, doesn't it? I would have thought.
Well, I don't know what the design costs would be on redesigning it totally. And then retraining people to create it.
Yeah, they've already got the blueprints for it, haven't they? So just keep it as is. Plus, it'd be a little bit better for heat management, wouldn't it? Having that big space.
Maybe, yeah, I guess so, but I'm sure they could have worked around it, couldn't they?
Because it is a chunky boy, isn't it?
It is a chunky boy.
I mean, saying that, it's like, what? Is it the same height or slightly smaller than the PS5?
I believe... Oh, it's smaller than the PS5.
It's a bit shorter than PS5, yeah.
So...
But it's fatter as well, though.
True, it's easier to lay down on its side. Hmm. Just flat surface rather than this odd thingy.
I like that both consoles could be stood vertically. I think it's much better. Aesthetically, I think it just looks nicer.
Yeah. Save space as well.
Exactly, yeah. Just whack them straight next to each other. It's like I've seen people try, like, put them like balance them on top of each other, like horizontal. It's just like, nah, what are you doing?
That's the recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that's an accident waiting. Yeah,
I mean, I could see it work for putting the PS5 on top of the Xbox, but the other way around would be a bit difficult.
Yeah, that'd balance it out quite.
Yeah. I mean, if you pull it off, all the power to you, I suppose.
But as we speak, you haven't got an Xbox at the moment, have you, Matt?
I do not know.
If you do get one, are you going to go this discless one, or would you go for the Series X? Or would you go for the Series S? Who knows?
I don't think I'd go for the S purely just for the power. I think I'd still want the power. I'd probably be tempted with this digital one just purely because of Game Pass. I feel like Game Pass is a big advertisement for Xbox and why you'd want to own one. So I'd probably have my full digital entertainment console there and just stick with the physical stuff for PS5.
Okay, but do you have much of a backlog of discs for Xbox anyway? Or is it just redundant that you don't have many and that's why you'd probably go discless?
No, I've still got a good number of discs for my Xbox One. So I've still got the collection there. So I suppose
it's that's the only reason why I got the disc version.
Because of collection, yeah.
Well, you got places like CX and all that, isn't it? I just don't like that.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah.
That's what I don't like about it.
You don't like the what, sorry?
The cornered market. But basically, you can only get it from there, that's it.
Oh, what, from CEX now?
No, in terms of digital games.
Oh, yeah, from digital?
You can only buy it from the store. I don't like the idea.
Yeah, that is disappointing. I mean, I think there might have been an article I read because I think Phil Spencer came out with a full interview he did with Polygon recently. And I think he made a mention that he'd like to see other storefronts on Xbox, like Epic, IO, I think is it? Is the one?
I think it's Steam as well, and everyone's been getting.
I'd love to see Steam.
I'm bothered about that. Yeah.
Could you imagine having Steam and Epic on Xbox? That'd be a big, like, hey, have all of your PC games on Xbox now.
That'd be a massive seller if you could port your entire Steam library over to it.
Could you imagine? That'd be very tempting for me to get an Xbox at that point. I'd be like, yeah, I'll switch over. My PC's dying anyway. I need to upgrade it. Give me a cheap alternative and get Steam on there, and you've sold me.
Another point about this is what they could do as well is they could bring out another variant of the Xbox fridge, a white variant to match.
You can just paint the one you've got.
Nah.
Nah. You gotta rinse that.
Actually, the toaster was already white. Was the toaster already white?
Yeah, the toaster's white.
Well, the toaster's based on the Series S, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's gonna be taking over your kitchen.
It'll be the George Foreman grill next.
Ah, that's the PS3, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the PS3 concept. Yeah.
That's it. You have a full console kitchen of utensils and appliances everywhere.
Yeah. Like, they could be like an add-on for the Nintendo Wii controller that's just like a spatula instead of a tennis racket.
I was thinking that for the Joy-Cons.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, similar, yeah.
Moving on from Xbox, we got some big news from Gearbox. Another box. Hey, there we go. They're getting...
We're proper one with the segues.
Yeah, right now. So, I think we've heard rumours about this for some time, but it's seemingly been confirmed by Take-Two that they have now, I suppose, acquired Gearbox from Embracer. And the Embracer Group. Well, inquired bought, I suppose.
Sort of. It's a bit of a complicated deal, isn't it?
It does appear to be, because I think prior to being bought from Embracer, I think Gearbox had a working relationship with Take-Two, didn't they? They weren't part of Take-Two, but they had like a publishing deal for stuff like, well, like Borderlands and all that kind of stuff. And then obviously in Briz came the board gearbox. I think it was around 1.4 billion, I want to say. $1 billion.
Like
1.4 billion dollars. On their massive spree of just buying out a lot of studios. Then their Saudi deal fell apart, which was kind of the main reason why they started buying these studios, because they felt confident about it, and then it fell through. And then they were like, right, now they need to sell a lot of studios they were just bought. So I believe Take-Two have now purchased Gearbox, which I think was roughly it was reported for $460 million. But it's not all of Gearbox that they've bought.
Mm.
They seem to have sort of, I don't know, cherry picked what they wanted, which is interesting. So try and read the full article that I think Kotaku sort of broke. Embracer does have certain rights to Gearbox's businesses, which apparently includes Gearbox San Francisco Publishing branch, which is going to get renamed, and they also have the publishing rights to the Remnant franchise and an upcoming game called Hyper Light Breaker, and some unannounced games as well from Gearbox, but no other sort of details came out of that. I think what Take Two has ended up with is the actual Gearbox software publisher and developer, and a number of different IPs as well, which include Borderlands, Homeworld, which is the real-time strategy, and a number of other stuff as well. So it's like they've not got everything, but they've got, I suppose, the main chunk of Gearbox that they wanted.
I've got a quick summary here.
If you want to go for it.
So basically, Gearbox Software, Gearbox Montreal, Gearbox Studio Quebec, and the Borderlands, Tiny Tina's, Wonderlands, Homeworld, Risk of Rain, Brother in Arms, and Duke Nukem franchises are being sold to them. But Embracer are retaining the publishing rights to Cryptic Studios, Lost Boys Interactive, Captured Dimensions, and as you mentioned, Hyper Light Breaker Remnant, the Undisclosed Games, as well as Gearbox Publishing in San Francisco.
Hmm.
I was interested about the payment method. So the payment for the acquisition will be made entirely in Take-Two shares.
Wait, so they've essentially sold their shares to Embracer then to buy these?
It looks like that, yeah. And I suspect they're going to become quite valuable come next year. GTA 6.
Why would that?
I don't think that's a bad deal, to be quite honest.
No, I suppose Embracer kind of
also
have a decent one.
So at Take Two, Gearbox, they will be put under the 2K division.
Mm.
And Randy Pitchford will remain as the CEO.
Oh, no surprise, is it?
No.
Yeah, I suppose we'll see on that one. I think there was a slight mention as well of Gearbox working on the next Borderlands as well?
Yes, and Homeworld as well.
And Homeworld. Hmm. Suppose we'll have to see how the film does for them as well later this year.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. It's an interesting time to sell those rights with that on the horizon. Wouldn't that be in the moneymaker for them?
Certainly, yeah. You'd think so, wouldn't you? Because I think the trailer got a relatively positive.
Unless the deal means they're still getting the profits from that.
I mean, it might do. It might just be anything new and going forward that they'd take profits on.
Thing is, though, I wonder if this was already in production, I think, before Embracer bought them. So I wonder if it might be... Maybe Embracer doesn't have anything to do with the film, perhaps?
It's possible.
Well, that they've just already just sold the rights to it. And then they've just washed their hands of it, and whoever's making it is making it.
No, but I mean, I think the film's been in production sort of before Embracer bought Gearbox. So I'm wondering if, like, they've just had like no part in it whatsoever. It's just been purely, you know, just Gearbox. It'd be all just for them. So now, 2K buying them, whether, do you know what I mean? Like, who gets, I suppose, some profits from the film? Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. With any luck, they can make another Duke Nukem. That's not Duke Nukem Forever. I'd like to see it revived.
I think of some IPs that just don't need to be around anymore.
It was.
And I think Duke Nukem was is a product of its time. I don't see it doing well anymore.
I'd like to
be surprised.
To fight against the Woke Brigade. It'd be amazing. Twitter would be, well, actually, X would be an absolute
You had it right.
Storm.
No. It's all right. First.
It already is. Stop.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't need another game to, like, add to that fire.
Do you want to hear Randy Pitchford's business comment?
Ooh.
After the cut. Typical fashion. Joining forces with Take-Two Interactive and 2K will help Gearbox ascend to our next level. Take-Two and 2K have demonstrated repeatedly their commitment to our engine of generating creativity, happiness, and profit. We set the bar for interactive entertainment and achieved remarkable results with groundbreaking, record-setting games when we worked together at arm's length as partners. I'm incredibly excited about what we can accomplish now that we're fully aligned as one. So
wonderful.
So now that they've been bought out, how many jobs are going to get lost? I await the next episode.
How many jobs have been saved? I mean, Embracer were on about a cutting spree, weren't they?
True. Well, I don't know. Always looking on the sour side at the moment, because there seems to be job cuts everywhere. Speaking of segues.
Talking about that. Yeah, we've got another announcement of jobs cut, unfortunately.
Yes. Go on then. What's happened?
Right. Well, doing the job cutting this time around is Sega. Unfortunately, so they've essentially come out and announced they have plans to sell Relic Entertainment, who our company specialised in sort of real-time strategy games. So if you've ever played Company of Heroes, or maybe some of the recent Age of Empires, or even a Homeworld series they helped out on, they're looking to be sold by Sega. Along with that, they have decided to cut around 240 jobs, which the majority of them will be made at Creative Assembly and Sega Europe, with a very small number also going to Sega Hardlight, which all three companies are actually based in the UK, which is a bit of a sad moment. More jobs getting lost.
Seems to be having quite a few cuts here in the UK.
So I believe with Relic Entertainment as well, they are actually plans to sell them to a holding company, which is being established by the UK investment company Imona Capital LLP. But no further details could be disclosed at the time. So, yay, more cuts.
I've got more business jargon talk from some suit.
Some suit.
Tell us what the suit said, Mark.
So Jürgen Pürst, the recently appointed head of Sega Europe, said this: "I want to sincerely apologise for the worry and understandable distress this news will cause, particularly for those directly affected. These decisions have been incredibly tough to make, and they follow meticulous consideration and deliberation with leadership teams across the business. Change is necessary to secure the future of our games business and to ensure that we are well placed to deliver the best possible experiences to our players going forward. We need to streamline, focus on what we are good at, and position ourselves as best we can for the road ahead. In order to do that, we need to respond to the changing economic landscape and the challenges we're facing in the way we develop our products and bring them to market.
Yeah. Sounds like something ChatGPT had write.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Oh, I'm sick of this.
How to be professional and courteous at the same time.
Do you know where he said the guy's job title, Mark? I thought you were going to say head of suits.
Head of suits. Well,
I guess he is.
Dear me.
Wonder how much his bonus is going to be then.
Well, we'll know soon because, well, it's the new financial year tomorrow. So
oh, yeah.
Everyone will be posting annual figures. So
savers. What else have we got?
I don't know if I'm saving anyone, but I'll try my best. I will be the messiah of this podcast. It'd be an Easter Sunday and all. Yes, I'll bring this podcast back from the dead.
Wait, at time of recording.
At time of recording.
That's my mention.
Anyway, so there's reports that Putin wants Russia to create its own video game console.
Mr. Putin?
Yeah.
Because all the other game companies have left. All that.
Left Russia, basically, yeah. Which I want to say is like, it's terrible for the people. If I was a Russian guy, I'd want to play FC 24.
Sure you would. Yeah.
But anyway.
But that's not what we're going to play, though, is it?
No. They'll be playing other things. Well, I think the last game they probably got was Atomic Heart, because that was produced in Russia, so they'll have got that. But they are still getting games via certain channels. So vendors are still getting games, but not widely, as if we were to get them, for example. So Putin floated the order when all of the major video game makers, including Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, kind of came out of Russia and stopped shipping games. So Putin's given the government until the 15th of June to study the ambitious proposal. And the Russian Prime Minister, Mikhail Mishustin, will oversee the effort. So we'll probably know in the next kind of 10 weeks or so if it's actually going to be a thing after he looks into this. But, I mean, it's ambitious. Because, obviously, there's a ton of stuff that you need kind of to look into creating the console itself. You need all the hardware, chips and everything. You need to know it's going to work with the games that you're looking to produce. And you also need software developers to make the games. It seems like an impossible feat.
It's not going to happen, is it?
It's going to go the way of the KFC console.
Yeah. Did they say like something it could take up to like 10 years?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. In order to get like a good team of software developers to get the hardware ready. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, our hardware generations are between maybe 5 to 7 years. And you have some teams working on games for decades sometimes if they get pushed along that far. So, yeah, hopefully the things that are going on in that part of the world won't go on for that long. So some normality will return. But yeah, I mean, in the article that I read about this from PC Mag, one comment did say that the more realistic option was for them to get some gaming hardware from China, bring it over to Russia, and for them to develop games internally. Because obviously they do have a rich history with Tetris. Well, Atomic Heart I mentioned earlier, and I really enjoyed that game. So I think there are probably developers there that can work on games, but yeah, I can't really see it going very far personally.
I just find it a bit fascinating. Everything that's going off there, and this is something an idea puts forward compared to a lot of other things.
I mean, it's probably to keep morale up because it's not a very nice place to be right now. I mean, there is that, yeah.
They'll be that. They've lost a lot of profits from obviously the big names pulling out, so need to generate that somewhere. I imagine a lot of Russians will probably end up not leaving Russia.
Yeah. Well, apparently, when McDonald's pulled out Russia, they made their own version of McDonald's, and they were using all the same ingredients early on, pretty much to make Big Macs and the fries and everything.
They got those hackers and working then, overtime getting the ingredients.
And then slowly but surely, things start to slip, and eventually the food start tasting even more horrible than McDonald's does. Which, I mean, it's no mean thing.
How dare you? That's a fine cuisine if I've ever seen one.
All the fast food restaurants are available.
Thank you, Mark. Actually, I had a McFlurry yesterday while I was waiting for some currency to be exchanged. The truffle one, and it were banging. Loved it.
Truffle?
Yeah. Yeah, like a... Not like a the
not expensive
mushroom like, thing.
No,
not one of them. Do you know the truffle that you used to get in celebrations? They took it from us.
Yeah.
That was the best celebration, in my opinion. Guess what we got in return for it? We got Twix.
Oh, nothing That's wrong the... with a good Twix. What?
Twix is nice. What's wrong with you?
Twix is bottom of that barrel.
What?
It's down there with Bounty. It's...
How dare you?
Wash your mouth,
swine.
I'll have some of this frog spawn drink. Yeah.
Yeah, you drink that.
Yeah.
What do you think this console is going to be called?
I think it's going to be called something very particular. Like Game Console 6000.
Game Console 6000. Here's me trying to think of like puns with like Putin's name.
The Poot Station.
Poot Station.
Poot Box.
Poo tender.
It's just called the poo.
The poo.
There you go, the poo.
Anyway, I mean, if it comes out, I'll be flabbergasted.
You're going to buy one. I can see you'll pre-order. You'll find a way.
Of course I will. I'm getting
you will
that
find a way.
It comes
out. Man on the border.
It's in the list with the KFC console and the Soldier Boy console. I'm waiting for it all. I want it all.
Yeah, what's happened to that KFC console?
Not that we've just looked into it.
I don't know. Shall we find out?
That's not going to happen either, let's be honest.
Nah.
No, we won't look into it.
Who needs a KFC console when you've got a microwave?
Is that how you make your fried chicken? Do you whack it in microwave?
Yeah. No, I normally just buy it from KFC. Oh, the chicken shops are available.
Yeah, all KFCs are available.
Like Nando's.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on that. I'll get angry.
Still never been. Never will.
It's just chicken, mate. Don't worry yourself.
That's it. I'm dragging you both to Nando's. That's it. You can have a cheeky Nando's once in your life. Right, moving on from
that.
Russia. We got some intriguing news from a senior director of product management and platform experience at Sony Interactive Entertainment.
Another suit.
That is a job title.
So another suit, yes. That is a... very long job title. So we know the PS5 launched with a feature that was called Game Help. I don't know if either of you used it. It's quite handy when I was playing Horizon Forbidden West, to be fair. So basically, this is a feature where developers created like guide videos on certain aspects of the game or certain trophies you're going after, or it would like recognize if you're like on a particular level and stuff. Like, it was pretty handy in Sackboy's Big Adventure. I remember seeing a lot of videos for like how to navigate through levels, how to get certain collectibles and whatnot. And this was purely based on if the developers obviously took the time to sort of develop those kind of stuff for it. But now Sabrina Mediz, I've probably butchered that last name, has come out and announced a community game hub where they're opening up that, I suppose, platform to the community so that PS5 users can create their own help videos for certain games and whatnot. And essentially just bursting that dam open for everyone to be able to create and help fellow gamers.
Hang on, but is this going to work through the PS5 UI like this does?
I believe so, yeah. So there's a bit of a jargon that Sabrina came up with. So she came out and said, community game help will add to the current game help experience by expanding the library of helpful game hints, incorporating videos that are automatically generated from gameplay footage of players who have opted in to contribute. She goes on to say further, when the enhanced game help experience featuring content from the community launches, which I think they're looking to do in the next few months or so, it will be available to all PS5 players with or without a PlayStation Plus subscription. So that's good. Okay. Don't need to have PS Plus if you want to contribute, helping fellow gamers. So if you opt in, what's going to happen is PS5 will automatically capture videos when players complete certain objectives or activities within the game. And then they'll essentially be uploaded to some servers in the cloud or whatnot. And apparently they'll be reviewed by a moderator and then potentially published as hints for players to watch and rate. Players will then receive sort of a notification once their video has been sort of published, and players can also opt to unpublish them if they wanted to. So I don't actually think you actually opt in to actually do any of these
videos.
It seems like the PS5 does it for you. Which
it's
there's going to be a lot of videos they'll record for the same.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm under the understanding that those guides are made by the developers.
Yes, yeah, so at the moment it is purely made
by
developers.
Is that because developers don't seem to be doing it anymore? That they've thought.
Maybe.
We'll try and get the public to do it.
To be fair, outside of like Sony titles, I don't think I've ever really seen hints and stuff for other games.
Yeah.
So,
but there's always some like writing with it as well, though. It's not just the video, is it? Is this going to be AI?
I think there is normally a little sort of description of this video goes through this guide and that kind of stuff. I don't think there's an actual like written guide unless the developers do it themselves.
Yeah, but there's normally like some wording, isn't there? It's not just video, is it?
No. It wouldn't just be,
somebody's got to do
it. There'd be something like, well, they did say like that's where I suppose the moderators come in, and maybe they go, hey, this is for this such and such. But then surely that's a lot of work for moderators as well.
It's going to be AI generated, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Probably.
I guarantee it.
I mean, yeah.
Well,
I'm fine with that.
I'm opting out.
As long as it can help somebody, then it's good.
Mm.
Just look at the internet. we've been using that for long enough. That'll tell you what to do.
Yeah, but sometimes it takes some time to track the right information down for the bit of the game you're on. So if this can save you some time.
I mean, there's good old game FAQs. That's been running for how many years now?
But how would they know what part of the game needs recording?
Is that leading up to trophies and stuff?
I could see for trophies.
Because you get a recording of that anyway. Or at least mine does. My auto records every trophy that I get and how I've done it.
I've stopped that.
Yeah. It's just
that hogs so much space.
I enjoy it. I love the self-glazing. I'll go back and watch it all day long.
I've just set it so it's platinum so that it saves.
Oh, right.
But that doesn't happen very
often. Oh, can you do that? Interesting.
Yeah, you can change.
I might have to change
which tier of trophies.
Mm. Because that Switch offers screenshots as well. It does screenshot of every trophy. I'm like,
yeah. So I suppose you just get a black screen with the thing in the corner.
Yeah, because it's loaded. It's just like, what's point? It's like the trophy popped up as it was loading. Like, what? Thanks.
Have you got yours set to record your mic as well? So if I'm saying something, does it get a trophy? I'll be able to listen to what I
said. I used to have that. I don't think it had anymore. 9 times out of 10, I've like muted my mic anyway.
I always have my mic off on the pad.
Yeah.
And I don't have the mic on my headset. So yeah. I just have the game audio.
Fair news.
Yeah. It's like whenever you publish a video, Nath, I always hear you clicking buttons.
It's an intense situation.
Yeah.
It's like the rare time that I've got some good commentary to go with it. It's normally just me swearing, to be honest.
Right. Would you like me to finish on a rumour?
A rumour?
Ooh, what's the rumour?
Depends. Is it a good rumour?
I think it would be good.
Okay.
Well, specifically for a recently independent studio of what they might be working on.
Ooh, go on. I am intrigued.
So, now do tell us with a pinch of salt, because apparently this has come from a YouTuber. So, YouTuber Canadian Guy A, it's a good name.
Okay.
Is pretty known for covering two series that he seems to love. One of them is Crash Bandicoot. The other one is Spyro the Dragon.
Oh, I think I heard of this a few days ago.
Now, according to him, he has potential sources. And according to his sources, we might be seeing, well, maybe not now, sometime in the future, but we might be hearing that we're getting a new Spyro game. And that Spyro game might be from the developer Toys for Bob. So they could be working. Well, I think we'd heard that they were in a potential partnership with Microsoft.
Is he just throwing things at the wall and hoping it sticks? That seems a bit...
Maybe. Apparently he does have, like, potential sources. Apparently he was on the he was at PAX East, which was like about a week ago, and he tried to get some sort of news and whatnot from developers, journalists, that kind of stuff. And from what he's overheard, he overheard about the Toys for Bob working with a deal with Microsoft. And basically, then he's
just probably overheard that. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, maybe take this with a pinch of salt. But he reckons developments started since January of this year. So,
early doors, yeah.
It's pretty early doors. But, I mean, if the news is legitimate, I'd love to see what they would do with a Spyro 4, considering they did work on the Reignited trilogy.
Mm.
And that was a solid remaster. Really enjoy my Spyro games, so
I'd want to take a page out of Crash's book, just call it Spyro 4, It's About Time. Just totally rip it off.
Or just copy their game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see a proper crossover game between them. I know we sort of got it.
Well, got the Game Boy Advance ones. Yeah. I've got them. They're not very good.
I had decent stuff, but I mean, I think everyone's really wanted that. I think they clamored for like a Spyro X Crash game at some point.
Mm.
So we'll see. Like I said, take it with a pinch of salt. But if it's true, cool.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
Well, I think that's about all the time we've got, chaps. Thank you very much. We'll be back next Tuesday. You can follow us on, across social media by Joking Dolphin, YouTube and Facebook, as well as on Instagram and Twitter at Joking Dolphin. Visit our website at jokingdolphin.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Take care.
Goodbye.
I think I need to check our website better now, don't I?
Yeah, soon.
Yeah.